This is Secrets to Win Big, your roadmap to sustained growth. Brought to you by Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. Find him at zenmango.com. And now, here's your host, Arjun Sen.
Welcome to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen. Hi, this is Arjun, and it's truly a pleasure to have incredible wow conversations with leaders from all walks of life and all over the world. In that spirit, today, I'm very excited to talk to my VIP guest, Lisa Lieberman-Wang. Lisa is a business and life strategist, helping coaches and entrepreneurs to create multiple 6 to 7 figure businesses. She has been featured at the highest level. Examples are TEDx and regularly on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and CW. Recently ranked top 25 leading women's entrepreneurs. She is number one international best-selling author of Brand You, Become the Expert and Fine to Fab, co-creator of NAP, licensed master NLP practitioner and trainer, and leading expert in neuroscience and human psychology. She's personally done over 60 million with an M in sales, and she has led her own business organizations to over 100 million in revenue. Welcome to Secrets to Win Big, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So Lisa, as I start looking at your incredible career and accomplishments, before you became a brand and strategic a business and life strategist, you held roles with IBM, MCI, websites by YLW. How did those experiences get you started on this journey?
Well, first off, IBM started as an internship while I was in college, and MCI followed that. And then ever since those two, the biggest companies you could, the number one computer company at the time and the number two telecommunications company at the time, those are really a great introduction for me for corporate America and what it looked like. And also the introduction to entrepreneurship, because my background was always in sales. So I was selling something for someone and I made this small percentage and then they made this big percentage. And I realized that in order to make more money than your boss, you needed to be in sales or own your own business. So it totally prepared me for where I am today.
Wow. So it starts with sales. How do you go from sales to business strategy that actually makes revenue happen?
Well, I like to say the way you just said it, I take it one step further. I say we do what makes the register ring ka-ching. So result-producing activities make the register ring ka-ching. And that's the difference between, you know, what a lot of people are doing when they're just very, very busy trying to build their business versus productive and very mindful of what they're doing, where they're doing, and how they're doing it. So the things that are super important for me in making revenue happen and being able to succeed the way we have is I've always got paid on performance. So whether I was working for MCI or my own consulting companies, and YLW Consulting is still in practice now 28 years later, that was one of the businesses that I started years ago and still have. And we've been doing consulting services, which includes web development, funnels, marketing, sales, and all the other stuff for decades now. That was super important because all the stuff I learned in corporate was able to parlay into entrepreneurship, but I also had great role models. My mother owned several businesses. My grandfather's owned businesses. I had a lot of wonderful role models in both areas.
So let's just digress for a few seconds. Let's just talk about the coolest lesson you learned from your grandpa and the coolest shout out you give to your mom, the coolest lesson from each one of them.
Well, the coolest lesson I learned I would think each one of them, actually all my grandfathers owned businesses. So one grandfather owned a bar and grill and had 11 kids. Another grandfather, that was my great grandfather. My grandfather owned a parking lot and a shoe store for women. I had another grandpa owned buildings, apartment buildings, and he actually had a hardware store. And some uncles that were very successful as well, and that owned businesses too. And my mother owned a barbershop and a men's clothing store. I think from my mom, the lesson was cash is king. She was always, you know, you don't ever spend more than you make, and always make sure you have money. So that was a big lesson. Grandpa, her dad said, I thought my mother said to me, save 90% and live on 10%. So that's what I did for my first years, and was a millionaire by the time I was 30. And then because of MCI becoming WorldCom and other things and all the investments, we lost everything. And I had to start over after 9/11. And after WorldCom went bankrupt and then 9/11, I had to start over, and I was able to make that wealth and then double, triple, and magnify it after, because of the principles I've already learned. But my mother said to me, I go, you said just to live on 10% and put 90 away. She goes, no, Grandpa said put 10% away and live on 90. I said, well, I got it wrong, but it worked for me.
I love that. I would rather stay on the 90-10. Because that's my grandma. I grew up in Kolkata, India. She was a widow at the age of 39 and raised three kids.
Wow.
She, those days, didn't have any house loans or anything like that, home loans. And she built this incredible home, one room at a time. So if you and your family ever visit us in Kolkata, you'll see that in this house, there are windows between rooms. Because when she added a room, she didn't have the money to close the window. So when I asked her at a later age, like, how did you do this? She explained to me that her principle was, anytime she got the equivalent was a rupee, let's say a dollar, she broke it into four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
One quarter went for taxes. One went for children's future. One went for her future. And the remaining quarter was what she felt was her current income. And she lived a life that she could sustain with that quarter. And, you know, to me, she did great. Like, she built this amazing house, and I just can't believe how she built it. So I really love what you were talking about. I'm so glad that both of us have amazing grandparents who gave us great, you know, showed us great paths.
Yes.
Now, you know, everything about your background, I could connect the dots, but there was one thing which just totally like made me say, whoa, where did she do this? Like, this is so cool. Is this whole background about neuroscience and human psychology. So mm-hmm. Where did that come from? And how did that help you get to that next level, being top 25 worldwide?
Well, it actually came from where people wouldn't expect it to come from. It came from an underlying desire to be good enough. And what it was is, I never felt like I was good enough, no matter how successful I was, you know, whether I succeeded to here, and WorldCom, MCI, I was like top 1% in the world, you know, and the next company on the top this percent in the world. And I just did it over and over again, but I never felt like I was good enough. And I was always competing against myself. So I was literally looking for the answer to what's wrong with me. And I was introduced to Tony Robbins, and that was back in 1993. And I was fortunate to have him personally work with me in front of 2,500 people. I became a protege. I ended up studying everything he did. And he had talked about a lot of neuroscience and human psychology. And I look at the footnotes on every of the books, and I spent fortune with him. And I said, okay, whoever he ever studied with, if they're still alive, I'm going to go visit with them and study with them. And it started out as, you know, going with, you know, everything from Wayne Dyer to Deepak Chopra to Dr. Bandler. I'm a licensed master NLP practitioner and trainer. There's like 6,000 of us in the world. I studied with Grinder and Dilts, and I kept studying with all these people, then Jay Abraham and the next. And what I found is that no matter what you're doing in the world, first you need to understand that everything we do is an inside job. So you need to work on yourself first. So I spent a lot of time working on me and found out the answer to my age-old question of what's wrong with me. And the answer was, do you know the answer?
Nothing.
That's correct. That's the answer. There was nothing wrong with me, but I spent decades thinking there was until I found there was nothing. But what I learned in the search after spending $1.3 million traveling around the world from everything from gurus saying, if you told me to sing and do crazy, I do crazy, whatever you told me to do. I realized that everybody is driven through Maslow's hierarchy of needs or Tony Robbins' six human needs. We're all driven through the same thing. And if we don't understand what our primary question is, what's driving us and how we're doing things and how we operate, we're going to treat everybody as if they're just like us, but they're not. And when you start understanding that we are wired a certain way and we have a 2-million-year-old brain that is very primitive and it has a fight and flight and it's looking to do survival, that we need to understand how we operate, why we do what we do, and how it affects other things. And when you do, it changes everything. And being I've been in marketing and sales all my life, I understood very early on, you can't influence people until you know what influences them. And that's super important.
You know, what I love is this is such a universal thought, is so many of us are caught into this self-critiquing. And my daughter, she's 27, she's doing a PhD at UPenn. She taught me that my left eyebrow and my right eyebrow are not the same. She even showed me that, Dad, you are not biologically symmetric. Okay?
Yes.
And then she told me this incredible thing. I'm just sharing, not trying to offend you or offend anyone. She said that God created you the way you are. And he said he does not make mistakes. So accept you as who you are. And sometimes what happens is we get branded with some negatives. Okay. I was just talking to an incredible professional friend of mine who in her performance appraisal was told that she is very impatient and she is too soft. Okay. And you said that, you know, if I went to a different country, the same performance could have got labeled as, instead of impatient, urgent, and instead of soft, caring.
Sure.
And that becomes the biggest strength, which means that other than you yourself, nobody else should give you a grading card.
Well,
and only you should work on, like, you know, and this is another thing what I learned working with some of the top sports personalities is they live a life of no regrets. Don't get me wrong, they always are investing in getting better. But the thing I also learned was you cannot change yesterday's performance. You can always get better. So this, I think, you know, gets me beautifully transitioning to your book, you know, which I'm very intrigued about, is Brand You. Okay. So how did, you know, what was the timing of this book when you wrote this? At what phase of self-development were you when you wrote this book? And tell me a little bit about the book.
Okay. Well, I just want to finish on what you're saying and add that the only meaning anything has is the meaning you give it. So that's pretty much the bottom line. Brand You, Become the Expert was really about how to stand out to create more sales, more clients, more often. And I love Jay Abraham, who as I've been studying with him for almost 20 years. And one of the things so many people don't understand is actually how to stand out. They suffer from what's called marketing myopia. And marketing myopia is like we're all holding a sign and we're focusing on the product rather than the customer. And we're trying to sell them, buy my shovel, buy my shovel, buy my shovel. And nobody wants shovels. Right? If I said, would you buy my shovel? You're going to go, no, I don't need a shovel. But if I turned around and I said, Arjun, there's 3 feet of snow outside your door. You can't get out. I sell shovels. Would you like one? You'll be like, yes, I want my shovel. I want your shovel. Most people don't understand that. So Brand You, Become the Expert is really about how to differentiate yourself from other people, how to learn how to market and actually sell people what they want. You always sell them what they want, then give them what they need. Because people are making the mistakes and they don't know how to target and actually understand who they're marketing to. Then identifying who your ideal client is. I've been speaking to people, entrepreneurs and coaches, and for the past 30 years, and people will tell me all the time, well, I'll say, who's your customer? They'll go, oh, they're 30 to 65. I'm like, who's your ideal client? They go, oh, 30 to 65, men and women, everybody needs this. I go, that's not your ideal client. An ideal client is someone who gets it and can afford your services. That's an ideal client. Who's your ideal client? Oh, they're between 40 and 65, like that's still not your ideal client. Let's really understand who it is. People do not know how to market and sell. They're trying to sell to everyone. No one hears them until you actually get a voice where you can identify who will get it, who can afford you, and that they raise their hand and they say, I want what you have, and they'll follow you anywhere. Do you actually have a product or service to offer? Then you're standing out. But if you look like everybody else, then nobody has a reason to come to you. And that was the whole thing for Brand You Become the Expert, is how do you stand out from a crowd? And that was the big piece for that part there, you know? And I have another book coming out. It's called Mastery to Millions, You're One Conversation Away. And it was literally from one of my clients, not one, three of my clients saying to me, Lisa, every business you've started since I was 23 years old made six figures the first year. And then we had a couple of businesses go to seven. And she says, look, how did you do that? And I sat down and I started thinking about what was it that I did that helped me build each business to six figures. It's first year, because you know, the average person takes 5 years to get to a six figure income. I don't know if you know that. For most businesses starting out, they're usually in the hole for 5 years, not making six figures. And I mastered it because I had great teachers and great work ethics. And I figured it out. And I said, okay, what was it that made us do it? And I created the Mastery to Millions, You're One Conversation Away. And it was based on the seven secrets you must know to build your business in any economy, no matter what's going on. And when I looked at where that was, this book is what's going to be coming out next. And I'm super excited about that. And it's because of the fact that I see so many entrepreneurs like majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors, not knowing where to spend their time and attention, not knowing how to stand out, not knowing how to make the register ring ka-ching. And I think there's a very big need out there because there's a lot of people still floundering and they need help.
You know, you heard this here first from Lisa. Targeting is very important. Targeting is not 30 to 60-year-old male and female. Targeting is not omitting 30% of the population. I love that phrase that you used. Would you repeat that phrase one more time? Targeting is a person
who wants what you have and can afford your services.
I love that. And will follow you around the world saying, I want to buy, I want to buy. I love that.
Also, I want Arjun, before you go, I do want to say, if anyone wants my book for free, if you go to Amazon, it's $25. If you want my book for free, just go to brandyoubecometheexpert.com. You get the book for free. You cover the shipping. I'll pay for the book. So you can go there.
Wow. What a gift. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I also want to learn a little more about the book, Fine to Fab. What is the promise of that book?
Well, Fine to Fab, I don't have the book in front of me. I'm actually packing here to be moving, but Fine to Fab, Fine stands for how I used to feel, which was effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional to fabulous, awesome, beautiful. And it's seven secrets of a successful woman's journey away from depression, disordered eating, and self-sabotage. You know, it was very interesting. My uncle years ago, I had dealt with a lot of stress and anxiety and other things like that. Super high achiever, but beat myself up so badly. I had an eating disorder and was abused and other things happened. And I remember my uncle saying to me, how can someone so smart be so dumb? And I couldn't understand that because I have a genius IQ. And what he was saying was, how could you be so smart and still be hurting yourself? And what I found is it's not the people that aren't smart that are hurting themselves. It's the really smart ones that think they have to be even better, looking to top themselves, the type A personalities that will do everything for everyone else and want to look good. But for themselves, they actually put themselves last. And their value is based on other things other than what's important, which is their own opinion versus, like we said, the meaning you give it, right? Anybody can say that's curious versus that's not smart, you know, however people want to say it. But the thing with Fine to Fab, that's actually what put me on the map. I helped one of my clients, and because of helping her, she was a reality star, and it got me on Nuvo TV, and then all of a sudden, CBS on The Talk because of her, and then after The Talk, it got me on ABC, NBC, CBS, and everything else. And, you know, helping, even when Kate Spade committed suicide, CBS called me to be their specialist to talk about neuroscience and why people do things themselves. When Harvey Weinstein was, you know, doing bad things to good women, it was like they wanted to understand, why do people do this and what's happening and how do we deal with it, and even how are women dealing with it and stuff. So they called me to be on as their specialist and stuff. I think it's understanding that every single person And here's the deal. Like I said, you can't influence people till you know what influence is. You need to understand what drives people. And at the end of the day, there's only two forms of communication that people have, and this is in the world. It's either a cry for help or a loving response. And when we understand how people are responding to us and not reacting, then we can understand how to serve them best.
And you know what I also like, as you were talking about, is the calmness with which you reflect on your past, you accept that, and you are at no point being negative about you. You are looking at with pride how you've overcome the challenges instead of saying, you know, that Lisa can't believe this is what she did. Like you are just beating up. No, you're not. I really feel like this is one of the things, you know, I've been divorced for a while. And when I met my current wife, both of us, what we realized was we came in life, or we meet now as is, which means if I don't accept me as who I am, how the heck will anybody else accept me? And that became a huge awareness for us as you start going through. And I also have learned to live a life by four rules, and I'd share the first one is a life of no crap. If I just have this amazing crap sensor, okay? If anybody brings crap, I right away just politely say, hey, that's yours. Same way is I don't want to dish it, because I right away sometimes feel that when things come in, it just changes the whole environment. So let's take the discussion, you know, to somewhere really bizarre. You are really incredibly wise. You are, what I love about, and the way I define wisdom is, you auto-correct yourself, auto-develop yourself, and you're constantly finding ways to evolve. And you're the person I would bet on. The 5 years, 10 years from now, you are most likely to double, triple, quadruple your success. So now the question for you is this. You walk into this room or a restaurant where there are three Lisas. 16-year-old Lisa, you, Lisa today, and 100-year-old Lisa. What would that conversation look like? What would you ask each one of them or tell the 16-year-old Lisa and the 100-year-old Lisa?
That's a good question. I think I'd tell the 16-year-old Lisa she did her best and she did a great job with what she knew. And I would thank her. It's interesting you picked 16 because that's when I had dealt with sexual abuse. That was interesting. So
I didn't know that, but I'm very
sorry. No, it's
proud on how you've dealt with everything and you are here.
Yeah.
Stronger because of everything, because you don't control bad things happen. You were at the wrong place at the wrong time, but you are stronger. And
well, you know, I actually have a very easy guiding belief that everything happens for a reason. And it's not happening to me, but for me. And I really learned I just need to be patient to find out why. And sometimes the answers don't come for 20 or 30 years, but I know they'll be there. So I think that leads to my 100-year-old self. If I already know that everything that has made me who I am today is all these experiences, which has given me the gifts to be able to serve so many people. I believe had I not gone through all the trials and tribulations of the wins and the losses and everything else, I don't think I could have really understood where other people are at the extent that I do today. When someone is looking to succeed or they say, oh, they look at me now, they go, you don't understand because you have everything. And I'm saying, there was a day I had it, I lost it all, I had to go do it again and all the other stuff. There were days when it was good, when it was bad. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth or anything else. And all the things I used to get upset about are all my gifts today. So I think the pieces that all this stuff had to happen, because had it not happened, I wouldn't be who I am. So I'm grateful for all that. And then the 100-year-old, I think it'd be interesting to see what she did with her last 42 years, you know, like I'm 58. Like what were the choices? What was her guiding principle? And, you know, what was really important at the end of the day? Because I'm sure the answer can differ from where we are today.
This I have to ask you based on your answer. You've gone through a fair share of challenges. What keeps you, like, how can you be this positive all the time? Like, what is your secret to being positive, going through all the challenges?
Well, I've gone through more challenges than I've shared so far. My husband got COVID in January 24th. He was admitted into the hospital. And he was in ICU for over a month. And he was in the hospitals for 2 months where he had COVID, double pneumonia, had a mild infection, widowmaker on the second day, needed a stent. They didn't have a cath lab. They couldn't do it. He was on 100% oxygen. They wouldn't let me see him because of COVID. We couldn't go into the hospital. And the doctors, at one point, they had a respirator machine, a ventilator outside his door for 25 days. And all they kept telling us to do is pray. And I didn't like their answers. I wrote to the president of the hospital. I did what I could. I got in there. I got second opinions in there. I did whatever we had to do. We eventually got him to another hospital. He got a stent. And just last week, he got a defibrillator, and he's 56 years young. So,
wow.
When I look at, and if I get emotional, it's because I am. We decided to sell a home that we built that's beautiful and gorgeous. 5 acres, 5,000 square feet, pools, waterfalls, gazebos, all the other stuff. We're very blessed. And we decided to sell it because we want an easier life where we don't want the maintenance. We don't want the headaches. We just want to change the quality of life. And that's why I said I'd be curious what the 100-year-old would say, because this person here just believes that everything happens for a reason. And I also believe that, you know, God's with me. So whatever's meant to be is going to be.
And you know what I love about, first of all, I'm fortunate you shared, and a little bit about, I'm learning about super rock star Lisa, is that she creates her own destiny. She is not the person to sit back, and because hospital says you cannot go in, because I don't think there's a door strong enough to keep you out. And this is a lesson for all of us, is that we all can be at least 30 to 50% Lisa in our journey forward, because that I think is a huge, huge lesson for us, is we are never helpless. We need to never give up. And that's something I truly appreciate. And I also feel that, you know, trusting your wisdom, because the decisions you're making and simplifying your life, I really feel over the last X number of years, your decisions have always helped you evolve. And I really feel this will help you come much closer. And I want to share a tiny random story with you, which I think could resonate. My brother lives in Mumbai. And one time he told me that a friend of his will be traveling through Denver. I was in Denver. I had a 12-hour layover, so I need to pick this guy up. And in Denver, not anybody visited us from in India, so I went to the airport. There was this man with a tiny bag, like a tiniest briefcase you can think of. That was my friend, my brother's friend. So I thought he has a check-in luggage. He said, no, this is all I have. So he comes to our home. We had cooked for him. Everything we made for him, my daughter and myself, he just kept saying, this is the best food ever. He even drank the water and said the mountain water is amazing. Then my daughter had taken him for a tour of the house. They are best friends. And normally, let's say you come over to our house or we go to your house, the tour is not in the bedrooms. Okay, I go and see this guy sitting in my bed and just jumping up and down. And he said, Mr. Arjun, this is the coolest bed. And then he tells me, Mr. Arjun, I just walked into your walk-in closet. You have so much of clothes. I'm so happy for you. And then he gives me this wisdom. He said, I have a degree, PhD in economics. He's a monk. He has given everything up. So he said, I can just tell you that every clothing item that you have, in fact, anything in your house has three utilities. Utility one is things you need every day to live. Group A. Utility two is things you forgot you have, but you want to enjoy. Mark them with B, bring them in front. And then C. C is things you don't use, won't use, but they have a major utility. The utility is when you give it to somebody, you'll feel so good, and that's the reason they are. Take those things out, give it, and less you have, more you will enjoy those. And this man, it went a step beyond. Okay, he was going to Vancouver. By then, I'm attached to this guy. I realized he doesn't have a jacket. I buy him a jacket at a, in a store on the way to the airport. I said, hey, no, you promised to call me to make sure you reach. He said, yeah, absolutely. 7 days later, he calls me. And as we are talking, of course, me being materialistic, asking me, how are you feeling? Are you okay? How's the jacket? He said, oh, Mr. Arjun, I forgot. I knew you'll ask me about the jacket. The jacket was amazing. I said, what the heck do you mean it was amazing? He said, the moment I got out of the airport, and Mr. Arjun, you don't scold me for this. I saw this homeless man, he was cold, and I gave him the jacket. And I'm like, you idiot, I gave you the jacket. He said, no, 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 Mr. Arjun, you didn't give me the jacket. You gave me a lesson. You taught me when somebody doesn't have a jacket, you give that person a jacket. That's what you taught me. You followed your lesson, you cannot. So I just feel that you are at that level, that when you are simplifying your life, you are onto something huge and mega. I really had to share the story. It's a very special story to me. So Lisa, sorry, we digressed. Now I want to come back to this fascinating conversation and want to know a little bit about your process. Like, if somebody like you, who wears so many hats, cannot be successful without a process. Is there something you do first thing in the morning when you start your work day, last thing, that, you know, gives us an idea about the secret behind Lisa's successful journey?
Well, I think everything I have is on mission. Mm-hmm. So my mission is to touch more lives than Oprah by helping people who help others. And I'm very focused on servant leadership. So my rituals are really simple. I get up, I know what I need to do. I get to serve with working with my clients on a daily basis. My first regimen is fresh, kiss my husband good morning. I say, hi, handsome. He says, hello, beautiful. We brush our teeth, take a shower. We have our vitamins. We have breakfast and our day starts. And we start off right. I mean, I say right is my first priority is my belief system with a higher power. And my second is my partner and making sure we're good. And we know why we do what we do. I mean, that's a big thing. I think a lot of times people are driven just by money. I love making money. I'm very grateful that we do that very well. But I also love the servant part of seeing other people succeed. I have people who have never made six figures making six figures part-time, 20 hours a week, and homeschooling three boys, one of them, and other people who tried to get their business, make six figures in their corporate career, but couldn't translate it into a business career, who are now making $250,000 or more. I have businesses that were making millions, but they didn't know how to get to the next level and create products. And I get to do that every single day and teach them how to sell big ticket items and not just sell it, but increase their over-the-counter sales by 50% and their income into the 5-6 digits on launches. And so to me, my day is all about being driven on how I can serve others. So I get to, every day I get to serve and somebody chooses to work with me, I feel like I'm blessed because that's a gift. Like that's a gift that there are people that want my help. So I feel like that's what drives me. And what I did learn over the years is I used to work 5 days a week and now I only work primarily 3 to 4 days a week. And I did that because I needed to make sure I found my balance again. So that's where my clients know that there's a line waiting to work with me because I won't give up my time anymore.
Wow. And I love that last of the wisdom, like there have been so many nugget wisdoms from you, is each one of us, our gifts in life, appreciating how big a gift we are and the gift we got from God is priceless. So thank you for sharing that. But Lisa, this is a fascinating conversation. You know, I just thought I was talking to an amazing business person, but I'm so glad you shared from your heart and showed me that you really need to be one consistent human being all through, and that's who you are. So Lisa, any final thoughts, any questions I didn't ask, anything else you want to share that we haven't talked today?
Well, I think we touched on a lot of topics I never spoke about before, so that was very interesting. One of the most important things, if it's secrets to win big, is know your why, know why you're doing something, build a business that matters, build a business that will serve community for greater good, and also leave a legacy. I believe that today, if we do things just for money, and as a young person, everything in my mind was, you had to make six figures, you had to make six figures. Then it was like, you have to make seven figures, you have to make seven. And you achieve every one of those goals. And then you're like, well, what else do I have to do? And you find out at the end of the day, the money is the reward for the service you deliver. So when you start realizing that if you have a good product and service and you're delivering real value, you'll get compensated in kind. And I think that's an important piece to always remember. And as well, watch for my book, Mastery to Millions, You're One Conversation Away, because I'll be teaching you the seven secrets you must know to build your business in any economy. And if you're looking to scale a business or go from, you know, you want to go from vocation to entrepreneurship, or you're an entrepreneur looking to take six to seven figures, I'd be happy to be able to see what that would look like for you. You could find me anywhere online. I'm the only Jewish Chinese woman with this name, Lisa Lieberman Wang. And you can find me there. And the Wang is my other half. And I figured when we were engaged, and I went to pick up something for him, Arjun. And they said, Mrs. Wang, Mrs. Wang. And I raised my hand and they go, Mrs. Wang. And I kept calling and looking like, why are they not listening to me? I'm here. So I came home and I said, I love you, handsome. I said, but I'm keeping the Lieberman or I'll lose my identity. And they're looking for an Asian chick and it's not me. So, so look for me, Lisa Lieberman Wang. And if you want to know what it would look like to work with me, only if you're serious about investing in yourself, go to callwithlisa.com. And set up a consultation, fill out a form. If you apply and we think you're somebody we can help, we'll set up a call and follow through.
I love that. And thanks for sharing. You know, I truly wish you the very best in life, but most importantly, I just want to change that question. Is you talking to Lisa, 100-year-old, and your husband next to you, both of you holding hands and smiling together. I wish both of you the happiness and want him to be 100% back in good health.
Thank you
for a fascinating conversation. This was amazing. You know, as rest of you are listening, I just am blown away by the depth of this conversation. And again, as I say in every conversation, I have the best seat in the house to ask these questions and hear from Lisa firsthand. Thank you again. Thank you all for for listening, and looking forward to another conversation very soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to Secrets to Win Big with Arjun Sen, founder and CEO of Zen Mango, top brand growth driver and a former Fortune 500 executive who has been called one of the most marketing intelligent minds in the business. To learn more, visit www.zenmango.com. Share this podcast with your friends and subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.